This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to the Liverpool.com podcast with me, James Martin, and Matt Addison. Today we'll be discussing what Liverpool are going to look like under Arne Slot, who does seem to be imminent as the new Liverpool coach. Before we get going, just a couple of messages. We'd like to thank NordVPN, our sponsors, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan. Go to nordvpn.com/bloodred. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan, and there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Now, the first thing to talk about when saying what are Liverpool going to look like under Slot is sort of physically what they're going to look like on the pitch. We now know a little bit more, don't we, Matt? Because Liverpool has launched their new home kit for the 2024-2025 season. We'll probably see it in action once or twice before this season comes to an end. Always a good time to sort of see what it looks like when it's actually out in action on the pitch. And then it'll be the kit for Arne Slot's first campaign as Liverpool manager. What are your initial thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, I think as ever with these things, the success of the kit and how we look back on it will depend on what Liverpool do next season, as we're going to talk a little bit about. I think that's always the biggest determinant in these things, isn't it? But it's a fairly simple design, isn't it? I think that's always a positive. I have to say I prefer this season's to next season's. I think this season was a particularly high bar, though. I do particularly like the white trim and all of that kind of thing. And look, it's not massively different, is it, this one? I think this is a decent kit, a nice step forward, another one for Nike to get under their belt as Liverpool's kit manufacturers. But as I say, I think the success of this will be completely determined by the success on the pitch. I don't know about you, but when I look back at my favourite Liverpool kits of the past, it tends to be fairly well aligned with how well the players played in them. There was a couple of shockers from probably about 10 years or so ago now, but I think that was probably not helped by the fact that Liverpool had a couple of shocking seasons in those periods as well. So, yeah, fingers crossed the new kit can bring some, you know, new success to Liverpool, and I think that's probably how we'll assess it, isn't it, in about 12 months' time.
Yeah, definitely. There's maybe one or two exceptions. You know, there's a couple of kits you look back on and think, I wish that had been in a different era, because the kit itself was, you know, a thing of beauty, and maybe the performances on the pitch didn't quite live up to it. I think back to maybe some of the later Adidas kits in their last spell as our kit makers, sort of turn of the 2010s, you know, not necessarily the best period for Liverpool on the pitch, but some nice kits in there. I remember one of the aways, the sort of white with the blue trim, obviously controversial having any blue on the Liverpool kit, but I remember liking that one. But yeah, in general, definitely it does sort of depend how Liverpool does on the pitch. And, you know, if Slot comes in and has a great first season, then perhaps this could be an iconic home kit. I think you're right. It's maybe one that's split opinion. I think a lot of people would say they do prefer the current one. But what I do like, this is probably Nike's last home kit for Liverpool before I switch back to Adidas. And what I do like is that they've tried something. You know, with the home kit, there's only so much you can do. Obviously, it has to be basically block red. And then it's just kind of the detailing that you're talking about. And you know, they've tried something a bit different. You see they've got the kind of new take on the classic pinstripes. And yeah, it's not going to be to everyone's taste, but I do like that it's something a bit out there. I mean, even if we go back to the Warrior days, you remember that I think it was the third kit, maybe it was the away, but that was slated, you know, with the kind of triangles of different colours. And you know, objectively, probably one of our worst kits, to be fair, but I kind of have a soft spot for it just because it's something a bit different. It's something a bit out there. And do you think there's something to be said for you know, trying something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is particularly wacky compared to some of the concoctions that have been there in the past in the last sort of 10 years or so, not necessarily with Nike, but with other manufacturers that Liverpool have had in the past, particularly those third kits. They can get a little bit creative at times with what those look like. But I do think this is a decent one. I know, as you say, it's split opinion. There's a couple of comments who are not too sure on it, but I think it's fairly plain and fairly simple, which is what I like in a kit. The splashes of yellow, yeah, I personally prefer just a kind of white and a red, but I don't think that's too bad. It's not too different to what Liverpool have had in the past. I don't think it's the worst thing. And I think whenever we have a kit launch, I think it's always, you know, you have one opinion of the shirt just as the shirt, and you have another opinion sometimes of the shirt being worn with the shorts and the socks and how it looks on the pitch. It can sometimes look a little bit different compared to what it just looks like as a standalone piece. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, obviously, how it looks on the players. As you say, I'm sure we'll see it before the end of this season, probably the last game of the season. They'll wear this one to advertise it ahead of the summer and next season. But yeah, I think it's a decent showing. I like the goalkeeper shirt as well, the black one. That looks fairly classy and fairly simple as well. I know I've used the word simple a good few times already in this podcast, but that is basically what I like with these kits. I think if you keep it simple, you keep it straightforward, that's usually the way that it looks best. And you know, as we'll come to, this is kind of the first snapshot that we've seen of what Arne Slot's Liverpool will look like, as you say, in a very literal sense. We'll come on to a slightly less literal interpretation of that in just a couple of minutes.
Yes, indeed. I was ranking home kits this morning, actually, for a piece. You can find that on the site. And I think I hadn't really thought about it before, but I tend to agree with you in terms of when everything, all of the detailing, all of the trim is white. That tends to be my preference as well. But you know, there's nothing wrong with the gold. I quite like it. And yeah, I think it could be a grower. I mean, I don't necessarily think that, as you say, some of the people in the comments are going to be jumping to our description. But anyone who does like the look of it, we do have a link for you to go and purchase the new shirt there. So if you like the look of it, by all means, do that. So yeah, I think that just about covers us on the new kit. So let's go into a more kind of tactical look at how Liverpool might be looking under Slot. You know, there's differences which we'll come to, but do you think a lot of the appeal about Slot was the similarities to how Liverpool already plays under Klopp?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's very much how I am interpreting it. I think from everything that we've learned, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I knew everything about Arne Slot even a week ago. Obviously, when the news breaks, we've done a lot of pieces and research, and we've spoken to lots of people who know a lot more about him than we do. I think continuity is probably the word. I think it looks to be an appointment that I think makes sense. The more you read about it and learn about what he will bring to Liverpool, the way that he sets up, the similarities to Jurgen Klopp, there's, you know, broadly, I think, a similar style of football, broadly the same formation. I know there's been a little bit of chatter about 4-2-3-1 versus 4-3-3, but I spoke to Michael Statham, who does a podcast, I think, and certainly is, you know, a regular viewer of the Eredivisie, and he kind of said, well, it's a 4-3-3, really. You know, the way that midfield sets up, there's not a huge amount between those two formations, but it seems to me like it will be, you know, fairly similar to what Liverpool have now. I think there's probably one or two question marks over a couple of different bits. We know Arne Slot is very winger heavy. I think there's definitely been a suggestion in the last few days that Liverpool might look to add to that in terms of the forward line. That's something that we've discussed on the podcast before, that I think that is something that Liverpool should do. Personally, I don't think you can ever have too many forwards. I think that's a good thing. I think it'll be interesting as well, the decision around Trent Alexander-Arnold. I've seen, you know, a few people suggest that if it is a 4-2-3-1, then Trent becomes one of those two. I'm still on the side of, well, you might as well play a 4-3-3 and have him doing what he's doing now, where you get a little bit of both. But that's certainly, you know, an interesting decision. And I think that's the most interesting thing, really, for me, is that there's a few players at Liverpool who've only ever had Jurgen Klopp, you know, Trent being one of those. I think we'll see a few different changes this summer, and that might be one of them. And that I think will be an exciting prospect for a number of these players. That's not to say that, you know, if Jurgen Klopp would have stayed, Trent would have been stagnant or, you know, anything like that. But I think the new ideas, a new face coming in, it might not be the worst thing in terms of one or two of these players just getting a new lease of life, almost something else to aim for, something else to have a little bit of a think about. And like I say, there will be decisions to be made, but I think it will be broadly similar to what we've seen, which, okay, the last few weeks haven't been great. There's been a few poor results, a few poor performances. Even when Liverpool have won, they've not played that great. But I think the majority of this season, you've got to look at it as a bigger picture thing, really. Across the course of the season, there's not a huge amount that Liverpool need to do. I think, you know, for 90% of it, they were good. The last 10% has been really poor. I think if you can make that 90% last a little bit longer by doing the same things, I think that's probably the best approach in terms of trying to improve again next season. So, yeah, the more you read about him, the more it makes sense, I think.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I mean, you look at the finish to the season, and the more it goes on, the more it does just look like a side that's completely run out of steam, sort of physically, mentally. And I mean, you look at a variety of things. Obviously, there was the Klopp announcement in January that kind of added to the emotion of the whole season. And then another thing, which maybe we haven't talked about that much, is the impact of Thursday night football all season. You know, you wouldn't necessarily pick it out as the defining reason why things have sort of unraveled as they have, but it's far from ideal in terms of the turnovers the squad has been asked to do sort of Thursday to Sunday quite often. And you wonder if maybe that does just eventually kind of catch up. And of course, next season, we now know Liverpool will be back in the Champions League, back on the Tuesday, Wednesday nights, which is a little bit better for the rotation. So hopefully fresh start, and maybe it has the energy to go the distance this time. But yeah, you're right. We don't need to be kind of ripping up the playbook that's worked so well for, you know, the vast majority of the Klopp era. I think what's appealing about making a change now is that you sort of get a new lease of life without necessarily having to start from scratch. You know, the fact is, Slot's coming into a team that a month and a half ago, maybe we were talking about as potential quadruple winners. It's not a bad position to be inheriting. And maybe this late sort of downturn has done him a favour in the sense that some of that pressure is off his shoulders. But yeah, a lot of the building blocks are already in place. So maybe we won't expect too radical a change. One thing I wanted to talk about, you mentioned Alexander Arnold and how maybe his role could evolve. Is there anyone else you'd sort of pick out as a player to watch in the slot system? I know I have sort of talked about Gakpo, who we might come on to, but I wonder if there's anyone else you would sort of jump to.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be massively different. I don't think that's kind of the point that we were making. I don't think there's anybody other than Trent that you think there's a real decision to be made one way or the other. I think someone like Cody Gakpo is one that could maybe play in a number of different positions as he has now. I think that probably won't change massively. Maybe he'll get more of an opportunity off the left-hand side, but then I would probably also pick out Luis Diaz as one who possibly could benefit from working with that, which again might, similar to this season, limit the opportunities for Gakpo to play on that side. I think if it is more of a 4-2-3-1, maybe there's, you know, a case for an Elliott or Szoboszlai or potentially even a Fabio Carvalho, though I know he's done pretty well in the second half of the season. I'm not quite convinced whether he's, you know, quite ready to be a regular for Liverpool. You know, those kinds of players that maybe could play as a bit more of a number 10, maybe they could benefit from that. But I suspect it'll be similar to where they are now, where they're kind of more number 8 type players. I think Dominic Szoboszlai is one that should, you know, recuperate and rest and maybe not look quite so tired as he does at the moment for, you know, the start of next season. It'd be interesting to see if he can get back to the levels that we saw for the first 6 months of the season from him. But I think Trent's the only one that I would look at and think that's, I suppose you'd describe it as a more permanent change. I think there's probably a few players that can fit into a couple of different positions that they might have to pick and choose game by game. But I think Trent's the only one way that you'd say there's, you know, a definitive change in the offing potentially. But I think Cody Gakpo is one that could benefit Luis Diaz. I'm sure Harvey Elliott would have played more football next season than he has this season anyway, just as his development continues. It'd be interesting to see what he does with Alexis McAllister. I think that's certainly an interesting one. I know I'm probably in the minority when I like to see him as that number 6. I think he's the best option if Liverpool go with a midfield 3. I like him with Szoboszlai and Jones on either side. That's the best midfield 3 for me, but I know not everybody agrees with that. It'll be interesting to see what Slot does with the midfield. But yeah, there's broadly, I think, the same questions that there would have been had Jurgen Klopp still been in charge. I think there would still have been a question to some extent about Trent's role. There would still have been, you know, a question about where is Cody Gakpo best. I think it probably is off the left. It might be through the middle, but I don't think he's necessarily going to be the first choice in either of those positions. Certainly when everyone's fit, I think that would be difficult for that to be the case. So there's still a few similar-ish question marks for me, but there's equally an opportunity, I think, that would have come anyway, because, you know, not just Elliot, Gakpo, McAllister, Szoboszlai, all of these players that I've mentioned, that they're at the age where you would think there's another step in them, you know, just around the corner anyway. You know, they're 23, 24 years of age, that they're kind of getting to that point. I know Liverpool tend to buy players in that sort of age bracket, so it's not a huge surprise. But I think with each of them, you know, they've had that season to settle. Ryan Gravenberch is another one, obviously a little bit younger, but I think there's a good few of them that you would look at and think straight away there's a chance that one or two of those could go up another level next season, just anyway, because of the point of the careers that they're in.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I think I'm most interested to see what happens with the front line. I know we're saying that it's probably going to be a similar kind of tactical setup, but I think even if he's inheriting a lot of the same questions that Jurgen Klopp's had to face, there's still an interesting question in terms of how he's going to answer them compared to how Klopp answered them. I'll explain my Gakpo thinking briefly in terms of, you know, it's almost a case of too obvious. You know, he did well in the Eredivisie. In comes an Eredivisie manager, Gakpo's suddenly going to be amazing. I don't think it's going to be quite as simple as that. But, you know, you look at how he got on in that left wing role at PSV. He played almost exclusively over there. Slot has seen firsthand how well he can do. I was doing a piece on this actually, and Gakpo scored or assisted 13% of the goals that Feyenoord conceded in their title-winning campaign, and that was just in one game before he moved to Liverpool in the January. So he certainly has seen firsthand what Gakpo can do from that position. And, you know, we've talked about how Slot likes his wingers. Gakpo is in that age range. He's the youngest option, really, in that wing position. So he's still got that pace, that explosiveness, which maybe we've seen more of from Slot's Feyenoord than we have with Liverpool recently. So I think the time might be right for him to make that left wing position his own, really. But then, of course, as you say, Luis Diaz does it like another obvious beneficiary of a manager who loves wingers coming in. So you think, well, where does he go? And then you've got Salah, who looks like he'll be staying around for at least another season. We saw recently that not playing him leads to tensions and, you know, unseemly scenes that hopefully aren't repeated. But it's obviously great for a new manager to inherit, you know, one of the best players in the world, one of the most consistent players in the world over the last 6-7 years. But at the same time, he's also going to have to find a way to resolve that, in the sense of, you know, Salah's not the quickest, the most explosive anymore. Slot does tend to like his wingers in that sort of mould. So you look at how he factors in Salah to his plan and you think, well, he's going to have to get that right. You know, another option in terms of the profiles would be switching Diaz over to the right, playing Gakpo down the left. And then you think, can Salah reinvent himself through the middle maybe, whether that's in that sort of number 10 role or whether it's through the middle? But then you look at players like Nunes and Jota, it's a good question to have in terms of how you fit them all in. But I think definitely there are some dilemmas there that Slot's going to have to resolve. And as you say, we've talked about potential recruitment in the front line as well, so there could be even more players to factor into that equation. I suppose, briefly before we move on to other bits and pieces, do you think there's anyone in that front line particularly vulnerable in terms of Slot coming in and maybe wanting to make a change?
I wouldn't say vulnerable just yet, but I think there is obviously a question about Darwin Nunez in terms of his goal scoring and reliability in front of goal. I think there's clearly a question mark over whether he is as ruthless as he should be. Again, he comes with the caveat of he's 24 years of age, so it might just be that he needs that extra season. I think certainly Liverpool will give him the extra season and see what happens next season in terms of, you know, whether he can go up a gear. But you know, he is just such a conundrum, isn't he? Whoever the manager is, I think there's a bit of a question mark. I think you can see that he's getting frustrated with himself in the last couple of weeks. There's been spells this season where he's gone sort of 10, 11 games without scoring, but then you look at his overall numbers and they're not too bad. I think goals and assists combined are over 30 now. Only Mohamed Salah has got more. I think it's about four or five more combined that he's got than Nunez has. Nobody else has come close. I'm sure, you know, Diogo Jota probably would have come close or maybe even beaten him had he been fit for the whole season. But again, that's a bit of a question mark about him. There's always, you know, an injury in him that you think is just around the corner. So I think there are a couple of questions really for Liverpool to answer. I think Darwin Nunez will get the opportunity next season to see what he can be and whether he can kick on a level. But I don't know. I've seen a few people, Jamie Carragher, I think it was on Sky after the derby, was saying, you know, maybe this is just the player that Darwin Nunez is. I think we have to get to an answer on that fairly soon, really. The first 6 months of next season, certainly, you know, next season as a whole, I think by the end of next season, we'll kind of know whether it's going to happen or not for Darwin Nunez. That'll be three full seasons for him at Liverpool. Obviously a big price tag, but I think he maybe has to go up another level and show that he can do that a little bit more consistently to make sure that his place in the team long-term is secure. So I think there are a couple of questions. Obviously Salah is his own question in terms of the age he is, the contract situation and what might happen with him. But I don't think this summer Liverpool should be looking to lose any of the options that they've got. I know there's been links with Diaz to Barcelona, or there's been, you know, links obviously with Salah and Saudi Arabia, whether that would be of interest to him. I personally have my doubts about that, but I certainly don't think Liverpool should be looking to lose any of those players. It would be a case for me of adding one more to it just to give them a little bit more of a rotation option. And obviously, if you've got six senior forwards, you've got Cade Gordon, you've got Ben Doak, you've got, you know, Elliot and Szoboszlai who can play in those areas, I think that can look a little bit top-heavy. But then there's going to be Champions League games next season that Liverpool haven't had this season. There's more of those than there have ever been before. You can see a situation, particularly with what we know from Arne Slot, he likes his wingers to put everything in. You know, there's quite often within his team at the moment a kind of double substitution of both wingers after the hour because they've put everything into that first hour, and then you can be replaced and bring on a couple of extra fresher options. You know, Liverpool have got the quality and the depth to be able to do that, not just game by game, but within each game as well. So there's going to be more than enough minutes. There's going to be more than enough big games for all of those players to have spread between them. You just don't want Liverpool to leave themselves short really in that department, because, you know, they've got the depth and the quality this season, but I think you can see with the numbers that each of them have got, you know, even, you know, Cody Gakpo, I like him as a player, but you'd like one or two more goals from him. Luis Diaz, I think, is the same. You know, he's probably been one of Liverpool's outstanding players this season, I think, alongside Van Dijk and McAllister, but doesn't quite have the goals to match what you would ideally want from him. So if you can get that one more option, I think that just gives Liverpool a little bit more leeway. It gives them an opportunity really to spread that a little bit more thinly. And we don't know what Mohamed Salah is going to look like next season. I personally think that he could be, you know, back where he was at the start of this season again after a rest this summer. I think possibly that the last few weeks have been more kind of injury related rather than the start of any kind of long-term decline or anything like that. But you know, we'll have to see. I think you want enough of a contingency plan in case one or two of those forwards are not firing, or in case Diogo Jota gets another injury, or in case Darwin Nunez goes on another little drought. I just always like them to have one more just to be safe.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I think that's the sound of fantasy football managers all over the world shuddering at the thought of the hour mark substitutions, the dreaded hour mark substitutions. That'll be one to keep an eye out on. But yeah, you're right to raise it in terms of the intensity that Slot demands. That's certainly a kind of parallel with Klopp. We've seen that intensity has been the identity. You know, that little phrase, I think Pep Linders coined that one, but it certainly rings true over the course of the Klopp era. But as well as the parallels to Klopp, which, you know, we've touched upon quite a lot, there's maybe one or two to Guardiola as well, as probably there would be with most young up-and-coming managers. He's been an inspiration for so many of them. Do you think maybe we'll see, you know, a slightly more controlled Liverpool side? I think it's been the one kind of enduring struggle, if you like, with Klopp era has been that battle to gain more control without sacrificing the intense identity. Is Slot the one who can sort of resolve that?
Yeah, I think certainly the perception of Liverpool has or should have changed. Whether it has, I'm not too sure. I think some people do still see Klopp's football as this kind of, you know, all running and all kind of powerful. I don't think it's necessarily the same now as what it was even 2 or 3 years ago. I think Liverpool are more controlled. I think that's what they wanted with Thiago when he came in. Obviously, that hasn't quite worked because of the injuries, but I think players like McAllister and, you know, Curtis Jones has become that kind of player in the midfield. I think there's certainly a lot more control when Liverpool are at their best, but there is, as you say, another step to come, another level of that can be unlocked. But from what we know of Arne Slot, I think that's the aim, really. I think that's been the aim for Jurgen Klopp and his Liverpool team. There's obviously been a transition in terms of the midfield with the couple of players that I've named there. I think probably earlier in the season, we saw a lot more from Dominic Szoboszlai in terms of keeping the ball and the controlled nature. I think he's almost the perfect player for what you want as this team. You want somebody who can keep the ball and who is technically very, very good, but also when he loses it, can be very intense and win it back very quickly. Obviously, we've not really seen the peak version of him for a few months now, but I think that can definitely be, you know, something that Liverpool get the most of again next season. So I think that's kind of the aim, isn't it, really? It might be another step towards a more Guardiola-like team, but I think Liverpool have already been on that journey to a certain extent. Maybe if it was a Xabi Alonso who was coming in, that would be, you know, even more of an extreme change. I think, you know, Arne Slot is probably more Klopp than Guardiola, but kind of falls somewhere between the two of them. But it will be interesting to see what Liverpool do. It'll be interesting as well, I think, to see how Slot adjusts to the Premier League and what changes he makes, because obviously we kind of have a decent idea now from what we've read this week in terms of what his final team is like and what they've been like in Europe and what they've been like domestically. But it will be, you know, a different set of players, a different set of challenges. There will be, I think, slight differences. We can't just assume that he'll just do exactly what he's done with Feyenoord, with Liverpool, because he might spot something that needs to be changed. And one of the really interesting things with him that I read about was sort of year to year what he did with Feyenoord changed. It wasn't always the case that he would do the same thing each season. He always changed something. There was always a player who his role changed, or the way that they pressed or the way that the midfield was set up was slightly different year on year, just to give them a little bit of an edge and keep opponents guessing. So I think that there probably would have been changes in terms of what he wants and what he thought about. Even if he was staying at the same club, the fact that he's coming to, you know, a different group of players with probably slightly different strengths and weaknesses and slightly different setup in terms of how it is, it's not going to be, you know, his team straight away. There will be, I'm sure, a couple of transfers in the summer, but it's not necessarily going to be, you know, exactly what he's got stylistically compared to what he's got at the moment. So I think there will be certain changes. That's no bad thing, but it will be interesting to see how similar he is to what the Premier League already has, whether he tries to adapt his methods slightly to what Liverpool, what the Liverpool squad looks like at the moment, or maybe, you know, vice versa, and he does it the other way around. But yeah, I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about that in the summer, I'm sure.
Yeah, he does seem like a very adaptable manager. And as you say, that can only be a good thing. It still sticks with me that 2022 Champions League final where Carlo Ancelotti, in his very sort of suave, respectful way, basically said that Liverpool were pretty predictable. They knew exactly how they were going to set up, how they were going to play. And, you know, that's understandable from Klopp's side, in the sense that they played that way for, you know, 5-6 years by that point and had won everything there was to win. It had been effective for them. But I think there does come a point where, you know, however good a manager has been and continues to be, we can't sort of discount how good Klopp's been this season. You know, there is a point where there's something exciting about shaking it up a bit. And you know, there may well be a step back before we go forward. Klopp's been, you know, one of the foremost coaches of the generation, up there with Pep Guardiola. And, you know, there's a reason we talk about Klopp and Guardiola as the key influences on pretty much any of the candidates who we've assessed to take over. But yeah, I think it's exciting to be looking at a truly new Liverpool side for the first time in coming up to a decade. And we, like we've said throughout the show, we don't need it to be completely different. We don't want to rip up what's worked and start from scratch. But I think we're going to see a shake-up, and I think that is, on the whole, a good thing. So that's where I'm at, and I think that'll just about wrap us up. Matt, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for your insight. Remember, you can go into the description below to get your new Liverpool home kit. I have seen a bit more positivity in the comments now. So, like we say, a bit of a Marmite one, but some people are liking it. So be sure to check that out. Meanwhile, be sure to check out all of Liverpool.com's content for the rest of the day and look at the rest of the Blood Red channel for our other video content. In the meantime, thanks very much for watching, and we will see you soon.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.